And we're reading in the book of Joshua, chapter 20. The book of Joshua, chapter 20. And we'll read from verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for your cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, that they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjaarba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Besar in the wilderness upon the plain of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Now we're turning tonight to Joshua chapter 20. I would imagine it's a chapter that many of us don't turn to very often. And it's about the cities of refuge. That's what we're thinking about tonight, the cities of refuge. I'm sure you've heard of them before, because they were very important in the days in which the book of Joshua and in the Old Testament that records them. In the Old Testament, it's rich with types and figures and parallels and pictures which reveal Christ. In many of the pages of the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is clearly seen. Hundreds of years, even thousands of years before he came into the world. The prophets said that of him, or the preacher in the New Testament said that of him gave all the prophets witness. And so the prophets and the Old Testament scriptures, they pointed ahead to the coming Messiah. And we see some great pictures in the Old Testament that reveal Christ to us. For example, the ark that Noah made is a type of Christ. Noah was given the instructions and the dimensions and the measurements for the ark. It was to be three stories high. That would remind us of the Trinity, that when the Lord came, he was the second person of the Trinity. There was a door in the ark, and it was the only way into the ark was through the door. And of course, he is the door. He said, I am the door, by me if any man entered in. People had to go into the ark to be saved from the coming flood of judgment that was coming upon the earth. And it's quite easy to preach the gospel from the ark that Noah made. Another picture we see is the Passover lamb for Israel when they were in Egypt. God said to Moses, tell the people to take a lamb, to keep it, make sure it's without blemish, kill it on a certain day, take the blood, put it on the doorpost and lintel of the door, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And when we come into the New Testament, Paul says Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, therefore let us keep the feast. And so it's quite obvious that the Lord Jesus was our Passover lamb, and he fits into that picture that we find over there in the book of Exodus. Of course, we can go on and we can think of the tabernacle and all the furniture of the tabernacle and all the curtains of the tabernacle and all the pins in the tabernacle. Everything in the tabernacle was speaking of Christ. My, the tabernacle. We could go on and talk about the offerings in the book of Leviticus, the burnt offering, the peace offering, the meat offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. They were all pointing ahead to Christ. They were sacrifices that was offered in the old economy, which they had to repeat continually, but they were pointing to him, the one sacrifice who would come. And of course at Calvary, he was the burnt offering that went up to God. He was the peace offering. He was the meat offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. But we see Christ also in the six cities of refuge. And that's what we want to look at tonight. We not often look at this passage about the six cities of refuge, but I trust that there's something of interest and something that we can learn from them this evening. When Israel came out of the land of Canaan and possessed the land was divided by lot to each of the tribes, and there was 12 tribes. And out of all the cities in the land of Canaan, there were six cities selected out from the rest, and they were known as the cities of refuge. Verse 2 says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint you out for you cities of refuge, whereof I speak unto you by the hand of Moses. And as we look at these six cities of refuge tonight, the first thing we want to underline is the purpose of the cities. The purpose. And the purpose of the cities is described by the name that was given to them. They were cities of refuge. They were a place where certain people could find refuge, people who were in danger. You see, it tells us here in the chapter, if a person unwittingly or unintentionally inflicted an injury on another person, even though that injury might prove fatal. For example, if they were felling a tree and the axe head flew off the shaft of the axe and hit someone else and they died, then that was unintentional. It was something that wasn't really meant. Well, if a person did that, he was not to be executed for that act. God made a provision for that person. A relative of the person killed could pursue the manslayer and execute judgment upon him in retaliation. He was known as the avenger of blood. So you have the manslayer and you have the avenger of blood. And the avenger of blood would seek to come and make retribution or punish the person who had killed his brother or his father or someone else belonging to him. But there were six cities laid aside, known as the cities of refuge. And the manslayer had to flee to one of these cities of refuge. And once he entered into one of these cities of refuge, he was safe from those who sought vengeance upon him. The city he entered was a means of escape. It was a means of refuge. And the purpose of the cities were to save those who were guilty and who were in danger of perishing at the hands of the manslayer, the avenger of blood. We see not only the purpose of the cities, but the provision of the cities. They were appointed by God himself in verse 1 and 2. These cities were in the plan of God. And in the provision of these cities, we see the mercy of God. That God was showing mercy on someone who had committed something unintentionally. We see not only the mercy of God in these cities, but we see the grace of God. You see, the grace of God provided not just one city or two cities, but six. Six. That was the abundance of God's grace. The purpose of the cities, refuge, the provision of the cities. There were six cities provided. The protection of the cities is here. Those who were in danger, they found salvation and safety and shelter. Once they fled to one of these cities and came to the elders of the city and pleaded their cause, they were protected from the avenger of blood. They had total security while they remained in the city until the death of the high priest, and then they were allowed to go back to their own city. And we see the people of the cities in verse 9. It says here, these were the cities appointed for the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person unawares might flee thither, not to die by the hand of the avenger of blood. So the cities of refuge was available to everyone, both Jew and Gentile, to the people of God and also to the stranger that sojourned amongst them. So we can see in these cities the purpose of the cities, refuge, the provision of the cities. God provided them, and he provided six of them. The protection of the city, the person who entered into the city, having committed some crime unintentionally, they were safe and secure. The people of the cities, that was not only for the Jew, but also for the sojourner. And we see, of course, now the picture of the cities. Because in what's written about these cities of refuge, we see Christ as the Savior of sinners. I'm sure you can see that quite easily tonight. My, we see Christ as one who is able to save people and to shelter them and to give them refuge from the penalty of sin. In these cities of refuge, we see the gospel message clear and plain. So you can see the cities of refuge. Three thoughts about them very quickly, having explained the purpose of them and all the details concerning them. We see, first of all, in these cities of refuge, the state or the plight of the sinner. My, the one who is the manslayer, the one who was the manslayer who slew someone unawares or unintentionally, is a picture of a sinner. You see here, first of all, the danger he is in. This man is in danger, this manslayer, because of his deeds, because of what he has done. He didn't do it intentionally, But he was still in danger because of his deeds. Because he slew a person unawares, a relative of that person was allowed to come and avenge the person's death by slaying the one who was guilty. And you see, friends, men and women tonight, young people, boys and girls, are in danger because of their deeds. Danger because of their deeds. You see, we were born with a sinful nature, each one of us. And because of that nature, we're guilty of committing sins. We're not only condemned by the very nature that we have, which is sinful, but we're condemned because that nature makes us commit sins. We commit sins naturally. Committing sins is doing that which is wrong in God's sight and contrary to his word and contrary to the commandments of God. And because of that nature, we're guilty of committing sins. My dear friends, all have sinned. Our sins condemn us. And you see, you're in danger tonight of leaving this world a sinner. We're all going to leave this world someday. We all came into this world, and the date and the month is on your birth certificate and the year as well. We all came into this world. We all came into this world the same way we came into this world, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, but we're all going to leave this world someday. We're going to leave this world, probably through the portal of death, except the Lord returns and takes us home. And you see, friends, we all came in the same way, but we must make sure we don't leave this world the same way as we came into it. And that's the danger. Make sure you don't leave this world the same way as you come into this world. Make sure you don't leave this world in your sins, because the Lord Jesus says, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins, and where I am, you cannot come. So we're in danger of leaving the world a sinner. Make sure that you don't leave it the same way in which you came into it. And of course, we're in danger not only of leaving this world a sinner, but if we leave this world a sinner, then you're in danger of losing your soul. Your soul will last for all eternity. Your body will last for 60, 70, 80 years. But your soul will last for all eternity. And if you go on in your sins and reject Christ, then you can lose your soul. Jesus says that we can gain the whole world. What shall a man profit if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And if you're still in your sins and you've rejected Christ, then you're in danger of losing your soul. So like the manslayer, we're in danger of leaving this world a sinner, danger of losing our soul. We're in danger of lifting our eyes in hell like the rich man. We read about the rich man in Luke chapter 16. He had fortune. He was a rich man. He had fashion. He had was clothed in purple and fine linen. He had food. His table was full of the best of food. My Lazarus lived off the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He had finery, and of course he had a future. And it says of this man, that he died. And in hell he did lift up his eyes, being in torments. And that's the danger you're in. The danger of leaving this world in your sins, of losing your soul, and lifting up your eyes in hell, being in torments, lost forever. Your soul lost in eternal flames of hell's damnation forever. We see the danger he's in. In the manslayer, we see not only the danger he was in, but we see the dread he had. When a person who killed another person unawares realized what he had done, it would dawn upon him that he was in danger. My, before he could dwell in quietness and peace and contentment, but suddenly his peace is shattered. His contentment is gone because he realizes that the avenger of blood will be coming after him. The avenger of blood will be coming on his trail, and he's in danger. And you see, friends, there's danger without and there's fear within. Fear within. And that's just like the person who's awakened to their lostness and their sinfulness and their guilt. The person who's awakened to the fact of the danger they're in. And the man and woman who finds contentment in the things of the world and the pleasures of life, and then the Holy Ghost comes round, you know. The Spirit of God begins to come and begins to move upon them in their sleep of spiritual death and convicts them of their sin. And this convicted soul, they now live in the dread of meeting a holy God as they are in their sin. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if you're convicted and aware of your doom, then you know something of dread. Yes, the dread of missing your opportunity. So in the manslayer, we see here the danger he was in, and we see the dread that he had. He knew that the avenger of blood was on his trail. And we see the decision he had to make. There was a place of refuge for his soul. There was a place where he could find safety, where he would be protected. And all he needed to do was to flee to the nearest of these six cities of refuge and stand at the gate and tell the elders of the city his cause. And my dear friends, they would take him in. They would take him in. This man who was in danger had to decide. He had a decision to make. Whether to flee for refuge to one of the cities of the plain, or to face the avenger of blood and perish. And you know, God has provided a place of refuge for our souls. And if the sinner flees to the place of refuge, he'll be saved from the abiding wrath of God. You remember John the Baptist, when he came on the scene, he cried out to the people to flee from the wrath of God. Where were they to flee to? They were to flee to the Lamb of God. So the first thing we see here tonight is the state of the sinner. In this picture of the manslayer, we see the state of the sinner. The second thing we see in this story tonight, in this chapter tonight, is the sufficiency of the Savior. These cities of refuge speak of Christ and they show Christ as an all-sufficient Savior who people who are in danger of being lost can flee to for refuge. Once a person who's in danger of being persuaded or pursued by the avenger of blood, once they fled to the city of refuge and asked for admission, he was received. And once he stepped into that city, he was safe. The avenger of blood could not put a finger upon him. And that's just like men and women coming to Christ. That's just like young people coming to Christ. That's just like boys and girls coming to Christ. We need to flee to him. We need to come to him. This Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It tells us that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to be our city of refuge. The Father sent His Son to be our refuge, our Savior. And men and women, boys and girls, my perishing sinners need a Savior. They need to be saved from the judgment of God. They need to be saved from sin. And God in His love and mercy has provided a shelter and a Savior for you tonight, whoever you may be. Christ died as the sacrifice for sin. He died for my sins. That's the whole thrill of the gospel. That God so loved us that He sent His Son, and He died on the cross at Calvary as a substitute. He took my place, and the judgment of God that should fall on me because of my sins, it fell on Him. And He paid the price of sin. He paid the price of my sin with His own precious blood, and so satisfied the demands of a holy God that the third day He rose again to be a living Savior. And to every individual that comes to Him, He's the city of refuge. Man, you can enter in tonight to a place, and that place is a person. When you enter into Christ, dear friends, you're entering into a place of safety, a place of security, a place of salvation. And just as the manslayer found refuge in one of the cities, so men and women can find refuge and safety and salvation in Christ. The moment you step into Christ by faith, you're safe and secured. When the Israelites that were in bondage in Egypt, my dear friends, the moment they stepped in and prevailed and claimed the merits of the blood of the sacrifice, my God sheltered them. He passed over them. The destroying angel could not come in unto them. The moment Noah stepped into the ark, those 8 people in the ark were as safe as God could make them. And Christ is sufficient tonight. Some people think they need something else. Others think they need something more. Some think they need something to do. All the man who was being followed and pursued by the avenger of blood, all he had to do was flee to the city of refuge. And that's all you need to do tonight. Only your city of refuge is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the state of the sinner, and we see the sufficiency of the Savior. And finally, in a word tonight, we see the simplicity of salvation. Salvation is a very sublime thing. It's a very simple thing. Express instructions were given to these cities to be in the midst of the land. When I turn back, I find a little bit more information about them in Deuteronomy chapter 19. In the beginning of the chapter, it says, when thou goest out to battle against the chapter 19, when the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coasts of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit it into three parts, that every slayer may flee thither. First of all, they had to be easily accessible. They were placed so that they could be reached in a single day's journey. And they were spread through the land so that from whatever point you started, you would reach one of these cities of refuge within a day. They had to be easily accessible. They had to be plainly marked. Jewish writers say that it was the law in Israel that one day a year there were persons sent out to prepare and repair the roads leading to them, to see that the signposts were set at every corner leading to the city and carefully preserved, and the name Miklah, which means refuge, was readable upon all of them. And you see, friends, through the gospel, God has plainly and fully made known the way of salvation, so that were for a man, no fool shall not err therein. And you know, they were to be personally available. Let me tell you this tonight, that salvation is available. And it's available to you. It's freely offered to you tonight. Freely offered to you. You just need to step in and take it. Jesus Christ is your city of refuge. Jesus Christ can be your Savior. My dear friends, make sure you don't leave this world the same way as you come into it. Make sure you don't lose your soul. Make sure that you'll never be like the rich man that we read about in Luke 16. That lifted his eyes in hell, being in torments. Flee to the city of refuge tonight. Come to Christ. Step in by faith and remember that there is therefore now no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. May God speak to us. May God show us clearly tonight through his word that Jesus Christ brings salvation, safety, security, peace, forgiveness of sin, to all those that come to him. Will you come now if you haven't come? Will you come and trust him as your Lord?